Alfonso, after we cover the People's Climate March on Saturday in Washington, D.C., we'll be speaking in Washington, D.C., as well as Raleigh-Durham on Monday, Miami, Florida on Tuesday, Tampa, Florida on Wednesday, Atlanta, Georgia on Thursday, Northfield, Minnesota, then Minneapolis on Friday, then on to Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 7:59, and some smart students are in the studio with Cecil Prescott. They've just been awarded the 2017 Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship, and Cecil is going to talk to them on More Talk Radio. At 9 o'clock in the Old Mole Variety Hour, Todd Sloan is the host, and he'll be talking about teaching in poverty schools, the tragedy of it, and some wonderful possibilities, the long history of medical experimentation on people of color in the United States, and a report on the recent Portland Troublemakers School. Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia at 10, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein discusses urban biodiversity and efforts to promote human and ecosystem health by creating access to nature. At 11 on disability awareness, we will hear instead Making Contact documentary Mirrors of Privilege, Making Whiteness Visible. And at 11:30 on Voices for the Animals, we talk about the U.S. Wildlife Service's war on wildlife. And all of this because of generous support of KBOO members. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. More Talk Radio next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Pete Seeger Tribute and Sing-Along happening Sunday, April 30th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. At this celebration of Pete Seeger's birthday, his life and his legacy will be honored. This event features a concert and videos, as well as a sing-along. Again, that's the Pete Seeger Tribute and Sing-Along, Sunday, April 30th, at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on, hold on.
By the mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Sexual Assault Resource Center's 40th anniversary fundraiser on Thursday, April 27th at 5 p.m. at Echo Trust in Portland. The Sexual Assault Resource Center was founded in 1977 to promote social justice by eliminating sexual violence in our community through education, support, and advocacy. Their fundraiser features Moody Little Sister and DJ Mr. Moo Moo and more. Again, that's the Sexual Assault Resource Center's 40th anniversary fundraiser on Thursday, April 27th at 5 p.m. at Echo Trust, 721 Northwest 9th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is your community radio station, KBOO-FM. And if you're listening in Portland, it's 90.7, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany area, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Wishing you well this morning, and I am so glad that we have with us three students who will introduce shortly. They are the recipients of the 9th Annual Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship, sponsored by the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. And in addition to the students we have, we also have a representative from the Oregon Physician for Social Responsibility, and his name is Damon...
Mott Story.
Okay. Hi, Damon. Tell us briefly about the scholarship and PSR.
Absolutely. And thank you, Cecil, for having us on the show tonight, this morning. It's clearly a little bit early for me, but so thank you so much for having us on. So the scholarship is in honor of Del Greenfield, who used to work for our organization and was really kind of the heart and soul of our organization. And this scholarship was set up as a memorial for her, as a way to honor her legacy of peace building and peacemaking in the Portland area and in the wider community in various parts of Oregon. And so every year we reach out to high school students all over the state and offer them a prompt that helps to think about different ways that you can build peace in our local communities. In previous years, we focused on building a movement to resist climate change, movements to resist nuclear weapons, and this year we focused on the public health crisis of gun violence. So the prompt this year was, how would you solve the public health crisis of gun violence? It really kind of takes a lot of the sort of autonomy and agency and hands it right to the students and gives them an opportunity to think about this as a very kind of one-on-one direct responsibility.
And so you cast the net wide in terms of all of Oregon, mm-hmm. and I understand you had over 150 entries.
That's right. We were really pleased to see people entering from as far east as Ontario, as far south as Ashland and Medford, quite a few people from the Portland and Salem and Eugene areas, and from the coast. So it's really wonderful, actually. All three of our students that are here with us this morning came from outside the Portland area, so it's pretty cool.
And they will receive their reward and their scholarship at an event later this week, is that correct?
Yes, it's this Friday at the First Unitarian Church in downtown Portland at 6 o'clock. We will be having an awards ceremony to honor the three students who won first, second, and third place, as well as our honorable mentionee. And they will be reciting their creative works, their essays and poems, alongside of a keynote speaker, Dr. Alicia Moreland Capuya from the Oregon Health and Science University, who's going to be delivering her remarks, her keynote speech.
And is the event open to the public, and is there a cost?
It's free and open to the public. There will be appetizers, hors d'oeuvres available, and a number of different community sponsoring organizations with information available from the gun violence prevention community, the peacebuilding community, and other public health organizations.
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. So if people want more information, what's your website?
www.oregonpsr.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Damon. And let's turn our attention to the recipients. And with us this morning are Jessica Evans, Kagan Rice, and joining us shortly because they are stuck behind a train coming from Oregon City is Kanan Watts. Good morning. How are you all?
Good morning.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Great.
Pretty tired.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us this morning and sharing with us. Perhaps just a brief introduction, your name, and how did you hear about this scholarship?
My name is Kagan Rice, and I live in the Dalles, Oregon, and I go to the Dalles High School. I heard first about the scholarship because we at our high school got a huge packet of local scholarships, and then about 2 weeks in, of our 1 month process of scholarship applications, we received more that weren't so much local from the Dalles, but more just statewide. Mm-hmm. And it caught my eye because I really am passionate about social issues, and I believe that I could make a strong essay, and I was confident enough to submit a scholarship to more of a statewide thing instead of just my small town scholarships.
Excellent. And you, Jessica, how did you hear about it? And
so I'm Jessica. I'm a senior at Tualatin High School, and I heard about this scholarship because I was just looking for scholarships online, and then I came across that, and I was like, this sounds really interesting, and I really wanted to write about it. So,
excellent. And I suppose both of you have lots of applications or applied for scholarships, many?
Yes. This was one of the few just statewide I did. I did a lot of local scholarships. I live in a small town, the Dalles, so I did many local ones. But yeah, this was one of the bigger ones I did.
And for you, Jessica, what was it about this scholarship that made you interested in writing about this topic?
Well, so the topic is about gun violence, and I think that's a very relative topic that we need to be talking about with the current situations that have been happening. And I think it's just really important to address just violence in general. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you, Kagan, why did you how did you come up with the way you wrote about this topic, gun violence?
Well, my entire life I've been surrounded by, my mom is a social worker, so I've been surrounded by a lot of, I mean, I guess I just have a lot of knowledge in the social aspects of bad things that happen, I guess. And when I saw this, I knew that it was something that I was pretty knowledgeable about, and I was really interested to, like, give my opinion, because I think it's a little bit different maybe than others. So I wanted to put mine out there and see if other people would agree with me, and I got the award. So supposedly it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Yes, and we'll let our third guest settle in and take a breath. And but in the meantime, Jessica, your approach was, I said it's, I termed it sort of like Back to the Future, you know, because you, the question itself was how to address gun violence as a health issue. And you took us to the future. How did you come up with that?
So I knew that for this essay, I wanted it to be a creative fictional story. And so that just brought me to the idea of, okay, so this is an issue currently. How would I, how would these issues be different in the future? And thinking about the future, I thought about what things could be different currently. And so that's how I came to writing this story.
Great, great. And good morning. Kenna?
Kenna.
Kenna, I'm glad you made it. I heard you were like stuck behind a train and all.
Yeah, it was the longest train I've ever seen.
It's usually, and you say, oh, I got to go.
Yeah, for real, for like 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for coming out here. Earlier, we spoke to the other two recipients and asking them, how did they hear about this scholarship and what made them apply? I'll ask you the same thing.
Well, actually, it was brought to me by my English teacher as an opportunity for extra credit. And I figured this is an issue that I'm passionate about, and I have views that I feel like need to be heard and I want to be heard. So I wrote the essay and then decided to submit it after like reviewing it with my English teacher and everything.
Oh, great. Well, yeah. You got a lot of extra credit, obviously.
Yeah.
So, what we want to do as we talk about this conversation, about this important topic, I'm going to ask you if you are able, if your voice is strong, to read your essays, and we'll have conversations about that.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Great. And you have it, okay, have it on the phones, or I have a hard copy if you want. But why don't you go first, Jessica?
Okay. Rejuvenated from a night of restful sleep, I stretch as I slowly get out of my warm bed. As I wait for my coffee to brew, I flick on the morning news. Today, March 6, 2038, marks the 20th anniversary of the last tragic mass shooting at a public high school. The reporter covers the stories of the victims, and he explains why this type of violence has been eliminated. Almost all schools have now adopted programs to promote peace. Students are taught to think before taking actions, to meditate, self-reflect, and express themselves effectively through words. More and more schools are now implementing this program into the curriculum, as it has shown dramatic results in reducing conflict. While eating breakfast, I scan my emails, pausing when my brother's name catches my eye. It's a link to a new video game that he is developing. His company's games focus on fun entertainment for audiences of all ages, without weapons and violence. I wince as I remember the horrific games that kids played while I was growing up. Games like Call of Duty no longer exist because gun violence awareness has increased. Changing attitudes towards killing for entertainment. Honestly, I'm shocked at how the media used to normalize shooting through songs, TV, books, and movies. Just as I was about to jump into the shower, I noticed a text from my friend. She's thanking me for recommending a program that is helping her fight depression. It amazes me how much the program is changing her. She had been in an abusive relationship with her boyfriend that led to severe depression. After a few months in the program, she is doing better and is now sharing her story with others in similar situations. Even her ex-boyfriend is now part of an anger management program and is involved in a support group. I shudder at the thought of what could have happened had there not been programs to help them out. As I am about to head out the door, my mind wanders a little bit as I think about my work's plan for the week. I'm an assistant director of our state's unification program, promoting peace in communities by unifying people of all backgrounds. It is our goal to foster understanding, which leads to respect and acceptance. As I am waiting for the TriMet to arrive, I'm thinking about all the projects starting soon to help further cultural, racial, and religious awareness. I'm excited to start hiking and gardening community programs that will cultivate healthy relationships and bring people together around a common goal. Guest speakers will go throughout the state to talk about their experiences dealing with prejudice. I'm working with different groups to plan holiday, religious, and cultural celebrations that will bring the community together. Also, I would like to work on providing educational programs to spread awareness about disabilities such as autism, Down syndrome, and Alzheimer's disease. Of course, I plan to continue public service announcements against bullying. I smile as I walk into my office, enthused to do my part in making a difference in the world.
Thank you so much. That was Jessica Evans of Tualatin High School, who is a first place winner for the 2017 Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship. That was very powerful in that you spoke about a world you envision, and looking back at the world that is now. Are you hopeful for the future that this vision might become a reality?
Yeah, I definitely think this can be a reality. I think some of the underlying issues I talked about in my essay can be easily dealt with, and with communication and just the want of understanding each other and accepting the differences and all that stuff.
Yes. And I would like to have a group conversation a little bit longer, but I want the others to share their essays. So, Kagan, would you read yours?
Yes. Do you have a copy?
I do.
I would love to use that instead. Okay. The public health crisis of gun violence touched our community a few weeks ago when a student from the Dallas High School ended his life with a gun. While I fully support the American Medical Association policies around gun violence, I believe that focus is only a piece of the solution. I'm a proponent of the Cure Violence Health Model, which, according to their website, uses the same three components that are used to reverse epidemic disease and outbreaks. one being interpreting transmission of the disease, two being reducing the risk of the highest risk, and three being changing community norms. There is a culture of violence known to many Americans that someone like me cannot fully understand because I'm protected by many privileges. Growing up surrounded by people who resolve conflicts with their words, I learned those skills. As a future social worker, I may not be the best person to interrupt violence, but in my opinion, violence interrupters need to be able to come from the community and align with the people experiencing and spreading violence. My contribution to the movement will be more behind the scenes as support to the frontline folks, those who work alongside individuals impacted by a public health epidemic of violence must assist people in developing a new set of nonviolent replacement behaviors. Well-intended outsiders coming into the community and imposing education on people is not enough. This is a top-down approach. Cure violence is a bottom-up approach that starts with the root of the issue and works up. This model works from the premise that violence is a contagion that relies on exposure, proximity, and vulnerability. It is a scientific approach to violence, which differs greatly from the conventional wisdom and dominant discourse that perpetuates the notion that bad people do bad things. With that being said, the Cure Violence model is how Cure Violence Health model is how it would solve the public health crisis of gun violence. The model can be brought to the Dalles if someone champions the effort. A degree in social work and social justice will equip me to be that champion.
Thank you so very much. Yes. And that was Kagan Rice of the Dalles High School, and also a second place winner for the 2017 Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship. You began that essay by speaking of a tragic event in your community. How did that impact your school and your community?
Well, it was obviously heartbreaking. One of my closer friends, he was more close to him, obviously, but it touched my community greatly, and it very much brought my community together. The Dalles has its downfalls, and I think that the tragedy really brought my community together, and it really made people realize, like, you don't realize when people are going through hard times, and while it this situation might not be completely associated with the public health crisis of violence, because it's not really violence to other people, it's violence upon yourself. And the tragedy really inspired me more to write about this issue.
Well, thank you so much. And a third scholarship winner, Kenna, addressed some of those issues that you both talked about in your essay. Okay, would you like to please read it?
So my essay is entitled Power of Availability. She dragged herself out of bed each morning to complete her routine. She stepped inside her cracking tub. As the scalding water touched her body, she sighed. What used to comfort her was now another burden. She dressed and left for school. Kayla shuffled through the hallways, hugging her body to keep from falling apart. She saw Mouse speaking, yet didn't hear words. Once home, her hand spun the lock. 20-14-7. Click. She pried open her father's safe, revealing the solution to her despondent state. Pointing against her head, she knew her finger was pulling the trigger, but she couldn't feel it. She would never feel again. There are 20,000 gun suicides in the U.S. every year. That's more than half of all suicides and two-thirds of all gun deaths. Whoosh! A fighter jet zooms through the sky, hot on his enemy's trail, until finally in range. Pew, pew, pew! Edwin screamed as he ran giddily, thrusting his toy plane through the air. His excitement and speed grew. He could no longer control himself. With a boom, Edwin tumbled through the grass, smashing his favorite toy. Lost without his fighter jet, he began to wander in search of a new toy. Nothing seemed as thrilling, exhilarating, entertaining. His home seemed to have a toy deficit, until he peeked in his parents' room. It was slick and made his eyes sparkle. How could he resist? Picking it up, he began to examine the new toy. This was incredible compared to his water pistols. Edwin readjusted his hands for a better view of the barrel, then his body dropped, motionless. No plane would fly in Edwin's hand again. Nearly 1.7 million children live in households where guns are stored. This makes American children 16 times more likely to be unintentionally killed by a gun. Shane felt his blood begin to boil. How many times do I have to tell her to clean the house? I work all day and all she has to do is clean this house. He remembered the previous times Carla had neglected to clean their home. She can't get it through her tiny brain. I've yelled. I've screamed. She even made me hit her last week. Shane was fuming now. I know what I have to do, he thought as he stomped to their room. Hello, sweetie, Carla said gingerly. She could sense the anger which had become quite familiar. He dismissed her. Shane's mind was set. He ripped open his sock drawer. He pulled out the solution, pointing it at Carla. Now will you learn to clean? Shane bellowed at her. Stunned with fear, Carla could not respond. This wasn't enough for Shane. He quickly pulled the trigger. As her body slouched against the bed frame, he realized his mistake. What Shane believed to be his solution became his demise. He too slouched. Abused women are 5 times more likely to be killed by their abuser if their abuser owns a firearm. It was an early morning in 1997 when the Australian sun glistened on the morning paper. Walter retrieved it from his porch. Massive buyback. 65,000 legally owned guns peacefully seized and destroyed. The headline filled him with hope. As he continued through the article, he was astounded. The average firearm suicide rate has declined 57%, and the average firearm homicide rate has dropped nearly 42%. He thought about the lives saved, the lives which can now be created, the lives with endless opportunities. What a ridiculously simple fix, he thought. With fewer guns, there's less violence.
And that was Kenner Watts from the Oregon City High School. Your essay, you shared different short vignettes in terms of how gun violence impact different people. Why did you take this form to address this issue?
For me, I feel like there's such a big stigma in the United States that massacres with guns are the main source of gun violence and the main issue that we need to try to stop, when these other issues like suicide and accidental deaths and domestic violence are really the more prominent issues, especially with 2/3 of gun violence being suicides. That's obviously more impactful than all the massacres we have combined. And I think that really needs to be called attention to, and we need to realize that these are the issues we need to prevent rather than these, like, 1 in a million huge shootings.
Thank you. You're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we are speaking today with the 2017 recipients of the Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship. And if you have a question or comment, please give us a call here at 503-231-8187, and we will engage you in our conversation. Kenner, you just mentioned it by focusing on how violence, gun violence, impact in many different ways, and suggested that often there's a lot of headlines when there's a mass shooting, and those are very tragic. But also, gun violence impact our society in many different ways. How do all of you think that gun violence is a public health issue? Recently, the Surgeon General was fired by the president, and the Surgeon General had spoke out often and loudly about gun violence as a public health issue. Why do you see it as such? Jessica?
So I think gun violence, I think violence in general is a big issue that we're dealing with, and I feel like some of the underlying causes come from like anger and depression, and I think we need to start attacking those issues rather than gun itself. And 'cause like Kenna said, more than 2/3 of gun violence is from suicide, so obviously that's a very big issue.
Any thoughts there?
Well, I believe that in America there's this big notion that bad people do bad things, and that people should be punished for violent acts and using guns in very like inappropriate ways. But I believe that gun violence should be treated like a disease, and it should go from the root of the cause and then be cured and fixed that way. I don't believe that it's something that should be punished. I definitely believe that it should be solved by, or dealt with like any other disease would be dealt with.
Yeah. And Kenner, in your essay, one of the vignettes was games that young people play. And what I got out of it is, you know, these games that we allow our children to participate somehow settle in, and young children become fascinated with guns. Speaking from your perspective, do you have conversations with your friends or colleagues about guns? Is that something that people talk about in terms of the impact on their lives, or is it not much of an issue?
Well, especially when I was writing this essay, I definitely talked to a lot of my friends and some of my coworkers as well about their stances, just trying to get a feel for what people in my community saw as gun violence. And then also, I come from a family that owns a lot of guns. My grandfather has some, and my aunts and uncles, and I actually grew up shooting guns and learning how to properly use them. So for me, just seeing those, like, a lot of my friends and coworkers are more like, we need these laws and whatnot, whereas my family is more, guns are more of your responsibility. Personally, I lean with my coworkers and friends, whereas this is a public health crisis, because by the government creating regulations, we could solve this issue. And so it's not personal responsibility here. I think this is more of the government's responsibility, and they need to take the step in to solve this issue and limit people.
And I think that's become... it's very difficult to address gun violence. And in your essay, Jessica, you spoke about in 20 years in the future about the lessening of gun violence. And we see, you know, our culture is a gun culture, you know. And I think the one comparison I have is to Australia, who 20 years ago, you know, after another mass shooting, somehow eliminated that culture of love for guns. Do you see it possible for us to, you know, we grew up with you know, war movies and video games and just our culture of guns and shooting, and whether it's for sports. Do you see, I imagine you saw a time in which that's something in the past. And you suggested, Kenner, that if we address it as a public health issue, that might be a way in which people, gun owners and non-gun owners, could agree on. Do you see a time when there's a lessening of gun violence in our society?
I believe that people who use guns for violence have hardships that people like me can't understand, because I've been protected by many privileges in my life. I believe with the model that I talked about in my essay, if it's spread across the U.S. and across the world, gun violence could definitely be lessened. My model is very much about treating it like a disease and checking up with people who may use gun as violence, and changing like the community norms. I think that we need to start addressing all gun violence and stop looking at it like something that's normal and that happens just because it happens. I think we really need to start standing up for it, and I don't think it's being stood up for enough.
Yeah, and that motto you used was the cure violence health motto. Is something you were familiar with before you began this essay?
Yes, I actually heard about it on OPB. It originated in Illinois, where my uncle lives, so it's from a place that I'm familiar with. And it was actually perfect timing. My mom listens to it in the car a lot. And we do go to Portland quite often because we have family here. And we heard about it very close to the time I was applying for scholarship. So it was perfect, actually, that I was brought to this model. And I strongly believe in it. So.
Great. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. Oh, no, two O's. My name is Cecil Prescott, and we are speaking with the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility 2017 Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarship and the winners. And the theme was how to address gun violence as a public health issue. With us are Kagan Rice, Kenna Watts, and Jessica Evans. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to a phone call. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Just wanted to point out a simple fact, which is that about 99%, and I've been following this for a while, but of all of these idiots who have used guns to kill or injure innocent people have been on pharmaceuticals. So these people were possibly already crazy when they started, and then the pharmaceutical industrial industry, they gave these people drugs which made them even crazier. And if you go and look at the warning signs, well, the precautions, or the if you get a prescription medication for just about anything these days, or better yet, watch the television commercials, when they give these drugs airtime, these toxic pharmaceutical garbage, in my opinion, they also have to give a warning during the 60-second commercial that's on television or radio, on commercial stations.
Yes.
And when you look at the so-called side effects, which is that's a funny euphemism, these side effects generally say things in there that it'll make you, you know, I mean, I'm one of the dumbest guys I know. And anybody with an IQ about room temperature after watching one of these commercials where they warn you about the side effects.
Okay.
You'd have to be crazy to even think about taking this crap, let alone taking it. But what I'm pointing out is that most of the gun violence is caused by either A, people were crazy to begin with, They were like some kind of
okay. And the second
psychological term, but the prescription crap that these people are forced to take sometimes makes them even crazier.
Okay,
and
I think
it doesn't take a genius to figure this out.
I think we get your point.
Need more gun legislation. We need a little bit of education about what causes these people to go off deep end in the first place.
Hey, thank you so much, Joe. And I think your last sentence is a point that our scholars are making in terms of the health, relating gun violence to health, public health issues. And a couple of your essays, I know in yours, Kenna, you mentioned in terms of depression and how that might impact if guns are easily available or around, how that might impact someone or being suicidal. So first, I think, is education. Is that correct in terms of?
Yes, I agree. I can see where you're coming from. That's why I do believe a piece of the solution would be background checks before purchasing a firearm. So, yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but I do believe that people should be educated on guns and should know what they're doing with them before purchasing.
Yes.
So I think, like in my essay, I talked about how media portrays violence and specifically gun violence and how they make guns seem super cool and they make it acceptable in society. And I think if we are able to kind of fix that view on guns and stuff, I think that could be a big problem solver for gun violence that we're facing.
Yes. Thank you, Jessica. And let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Karen.
Oh, good morning. What a wonderful opportunity to listen to the young people. They're just great. I just wanted to throw something into the pot. I have heard that per capita, Canada has at least as many guns as we do, but they have far less gun violence. And so what they have, I mean, one of the factors that I think is involved is they have far better economic equality than we do. And so the economic inequality impacts people's depression and anger. And the structure of our society with its built-in racism and sexism and ways of discriminating against people on many different levels because of the capitalist kind of competition makes people more prone to anger and depression. And since guns are very available here, people use them more. I'm just throwing that in. I'm not saying it's the only thing, but mm-hmm. the medical model only works at the end after the violence has been done, or it might help to prevent right before in the sense of treating anger or depression. But why do people become angry and depressed, so angry and depressed in this society? That's really the question in my mind. Okay, I'm going to take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen. Who would like to respond in terms?
I believe that my solution definitely agrees with her. I believe that we need to start from the root of the cause of gun violence and prevent it from happening and mediate conflicts. And that's a part of what my model is interrupters that come from the community to help people who are surrounded by violence and help like cure it. So I do believe that we need to stop and prevent this issue before it gets worse. And I think that is where we went wrong in our society, is we started to respond to it after the fact instead of really going and preventing it.
And that was Kagan Rice. Thank you. Help me, Damien, which day is the award ceremony? Friday? Friday evening at 6 o'clock at the Unitarian Church in Portland, Oregon. They and the person who was the honorable mention will receive their reward, and it is free, and they invite you to come and meet these people, great scholars and future current leaders in our communities. One of the things that I think Karen and also Joe, the earlier caller, I think mentioned, and I think it's so important, is in terms of the role of the whole community in terms of addressing these issues. And how do you think we can begin to change our affection for the culture of gun violence? I was going to say culture of guns. I think that might be more difficult, but the culture of gun violence. A couple of you mentioned earlier in terms of growing up and how we romanticize violence. How do we begin to change that?
Well, I think media plays a big role in gun violence. So, like I said before, I think if media changes the way it presents guns, presents gun violence, that is a big answer to changing the way society views gun violence. So,
yeah. All right. Kenan, did you... Your essay was so powerful, and obviously it's something you researched and thought about it in terms of different ways in which gun violence can take place. Is that something you've been thinking about for a long time, or is that something you've been thinking about a long time in terms of gun violence. You mentioned, you know, where you came from and growing up with guns and stuff like that. What are some of your thoughts?
I've definitely known for a while. I feel like I'm lucky to be very educated, I think, in social issues like gun violence. And so even from a young age, I was kind of taught that these mass killings are not the main issue. And my father actually is a domestic abuse counselor. Mm. So that's been very prominent in my life, is that this is a real issue in the U.S. And a lot of that story I wrote was like him explaining like how that process happens in our society. And to me, I think these other issues need to be addressed first, because suicide is obviously comes from depression, like we've talked about how this is an illness. And then education would definitely be key in with young children around firearms. And I think it's important to realize there's no one simple fix to this issue, especially when America has such a mindset that guns keep us safe. And we're obviously overlooking the facts that guns are causing more violence and more deaths than many other things in our country. So I think we need to realize this isn't just a one-fix problem. Like, for each scenario, there's multiple solutions and multiple ways we need to address this issue.
So there isn't a magic wand,
one
piece of legislation that's going to reduce gun violence in our country.
I mean, I think obviously increasing regulations and just making them less available was kind of the premise of my essay. And I think if you simply don't have the guns like Australia does, you don't see that violence. But I think if we want to fix the core of the problem, like domestic abuse and education and depression, then those are other areas that we need to seek out too. But if we want to stop the deaths, obviously stopping guns is going to be that first step, and then working on the stem of the issue from there.
Yes. I saw your head nodding in agreement, Kagan. Anything you wanted to add to her comment?
I would just like to agree with her. I believe that making guns less available is a piece of it, but I don't think that it's all of it. In any situation, if strict parents tell their kid, take away their kid's phone, it's not always going to make them, you know, not rebel or whatever. But I do really agree with Kenna here.
I think certainly in our society, when we talk about gun violence, we need to find common ground. Because as much as I may feel passionate about reducing the availability of guns, people feel just as passionate or more so in terms of, you shall not take my gun away. So are there places, and I think your essays is very good on answering the question, are there places where we can find common ground? And if we see it as a public health issue, how we're all impacted, that might be a place of beginning to talk about this subject, which is a very hot subject for a lot of people. Kagan, you mentioned in your essay that you see yourself as continuing your education and becoming a social worker. How do you want to focus your career? What things do you want to focus
is your
on?
Question, why is my career going that direction?
Yeah, that direction, yeah.
Okay. Well, my mom is a social worker, and we've done foster care ever since I can remember. I've always been a foster sister. We've had, I think, around 20 foster children in our home. And my mom has always really nailed into my brain that these are social issues, and that the notion that bad people do bad things is very, I don't want to say like ignorant statement, but you never know what's going on in someone's life. And like I said before, a lot of us are protected by privileges, and we cannot understand that the reason people are using violence is because they could not use their words to work things out. In my family, we've always used our words to work through issues, and that's not always the case in a lot of families. So I think that's a really important thing to think about when talking about this public health crisis.
Great. And you are a senior?
Yes, I am.
And do you know what school you'll be going to next year?
I will be doing dual enrollment with U of O and Lane Community College in Eugene.
Eugene, excellent. Kenner, what year are you and what are your future goals?
I'm a junior right now, and I've been looking at some colleges. I'm really interested in Pomona and Scripps and obviously some Ivies, but I'm not really sure yet. It's just I still got another year.
Junior, yeah. You have any sense of, in terms of career, what things you might want to do, or are you still exploring?
I'm really interested in math and science, actually. It's kind of funny because writing's my weakest subject, but definitely the math and science field and maybe research or just figuring stuff out, I guess.
Okay, great. And Jessica, you are a senior.
Yeah, right? I'm a senior at Tualatin High School, and I'm planning on going to George Fox University this fall, and I'm going to be majoring in marketing.
Excellent. So we're speaking with the 2017 Greenfield Peace Writing Scholarships. The award dinner will be this Friday at 6 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland, Oregon. It's free and open to the public. And we have a couple of callers online, so let's try to get to them. Mike, good morning. Your question or comment?
Hi, good morning, Cecil. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up, sort of a thing that I see as a good control issue with guns, so that it don't take really guns away from people. But I'm always interested in the fact that nobody talks about gun owners needing to insure or have liability insurance for their weapons. I mean, a lot of I would imagine, I think gun owners probably insure their weapons against theft and things like that, but they're, you know, whenever their weapons are used for mayhem or whatever, I mean, I don't believe that they are actually held liable for what their weapons get used for. So, and I'm just saying this is like a friend of mine wrote a white paper about this some years ago, and I've always shopped it around to people. And people think it's a good idea, but it basically, if you buy a weapon that is highly dangerous, you get an AR-15, then you're going to pay, and you need to insure every weapon that's bought. Then an AR-15 is going to cost you quite a bit of money to have, and a hunting rifle or something like that, or a shotgun or something might be considerably less. And so it's just it's an idea that, and then the money that these premiums produce would go into sort of a fund which would cover the victims of gun violence and be sort of a floating revolving fund where, you know, when mass shootings happen and stuff, it isn't just the state that picks up the tab.
Okay, but that's
it's just an idea.
That's a good idea, I think, to explore. Any thoughts or comments? Okay. Oh, you started to say something?
I was just going to say, I think that's a really interesting idea because as a country, we tax, at least where marijuana is legal, taxing marijuana and taxing tobacco, and then using that money to further education of those harmful substances. I think that's a really interesting idea to also tax firearms to then, in return, use that money to educate and hopefully prevent in the future. I just agree with you. I think that's really interesting.
Thank you. And I think that goes along with the sense of addressing gun violence as a public health issue. Let's go to our next caller. Samantha, good morning. Samantha. Oh, I think... Samantha, are you there?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Wonderful. Well, good morning. Hello, everybody. Thanks for having this conversation. I do think it's a really important one to have. We had a previous caller, that brought up social issues like depression and other socioeconomic and systemic racism as, you know, leading reasons for, maybe not leading, but definitely causes for a lot of this gun violence. And I really think that when we have this dialogue regarding taxation, regulation, outright just eliminating the gun, we're not looking at these social factors that lead people to either making desperate decisions like hurting one another, or uneducated decisions like leaving a gun where a child could find it. There's a child in the essay who ended her own life. There was some serious issues there that we need to tackle as a civilization, as a species, when it comes to socioeconomic issues, racism. We've got so many things just built into our system that once a person makes a mistake, instead of lifting that person up, we kind of, as a society, says, well, if you work hard enough, you're going to make it. But we have these hurdles and these, like, the revolving door of our, sorry, I won't say courts, but yeah. Actually our prisons. Our prisons, you know, we don't rehabilitate people. We close down and we cut funding for things like mental health. And, you know, we kind of give value to people who are fortunate and privileged enough to have gotten into a place of, socioeconomic liberty, where we kind of look at people who are struggling as if it's their fault. And I think that that's a cultural shift that really we need to work on. Less taxation, less punishing people who are already hurting, more finding ways of building equality across the board. And I just maybe thought I could hear some thoughts regarding how we're supposed to create community. And I think that's the key. When we create community, we're creating a place where we look into each other's yard, not to wonder what we have or what we're missing, but to make sure that they're not missing something, where we actually engage. And when we're actually engaged, you know, people are less stressed out. I don't think we'd ever have a housing problem if we knew our neighbors and we go, okay, so you lost your job. Everybody within the community, every single person goes, well, I'll put a little bit in to ensure that you're okay while you get into your next position.
Hey, Samantha.
That kind of community.
Those are great thoughts. We're just running out of time, so I want our guests to respond to your thoughts. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Any thoughts, comments?
You couldn't have said it better. I very much agree with you that taking guns away from people isn't going to make it go away. It's public health that really the focus needs to be on. It's not always the guns. It's what's happening in people's lives to make them resort to guns.
Yeah, it was interesting what she brought up, and I really agree with what Samantha said. Creating that community of just being able to rely on each other and fall back on each other than resorting to violence or whatever just to end a problem because they're not able to see what's on the outside of the tunnel or whatever. And I think we need to start like having more conversations and more dialogue about these issues in order to start moving towards that direction, what Samantha was talking about. So,
excellent. If you want to be a part of this dialogue and be inspired, I encourage you to come out this Friday to the First Unitarian Church at 6 p.m. and hear four students share their thoughts and their hopes for our future. I want to thank our guests this morning, Jessica Evans, Kenna Watts, and Kagan Rice. And, just perhaps with people like all of you, we can get to 2038 where you wrote about and look at this as past, as history. And hopefully your children will confront a world where there is less gun violence. Thank you for coming out this morning and sharing and your thoughtfulness. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And coming up, you've been listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. Coming up at 9 is the Old Mole Variety Hour. They'll talk about teaching poverty in schools, a long history of medical experimentation on people of color in the U.S., and a report on the recent Portland Troublemaker School. At 10 is Chris Andre, who hosts Ear Cascadia. At 10:15, Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein discusses urban biodiversity diversity and efforts to promote human ecosystem health by creating access to nature. At 11, disability awareness is off. Instead, we hear the Making Contact documentary, Mirrors of Privilege, Making Whiteness Visible. And at 11:30, Voices for the Animals talk to the U.S. Wild Service's War on Wildlife. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. I hope you have a pleasant day.
KBOO Portland, it's 8:59. The Old Mole Variety Hour is next.
Hey, Jenna here from the show Pacific Underground, the radio show that explores the Asian and Pacific Islander experience in America. We're looking for producers and writers to join our team. So we're inviting those who identify as Asian or Pacific Islander to attend a Pacific Underground information meeting on Wednesday, April 26th at 7 p.m. at KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue at Burnside. More information can be found at www.pacificunderground.org or on our Facebook at PAC Underground.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Lonesome City EP release, Saturday, April 29th at the Alberta Street Pub in Portland. The event celebrates the debut solo EP release from Avery Levine. Avery Levine is a Portland-based singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist specializing in traditional Irish music and original progressive Irish folk. Again, that's the Lonesome City EP release, Saturday, April 29th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub, 1036 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was